Typically, this time of year, the holiday spirit sets in and people think about giving. But this isn't a typical year. With a massive spike in COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, with people out of work due to the pandemic, charitable giving is down. But as evidenced in the long lines at food banks, the need for help has never been greater, and charities that rely on donors are really feeling the pinch. Kyle Ron is president and CEO of the nonprofit United Way of Southern Nevada, which raises funds and support for those in need. Kyle Ron, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Joe, for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Kyle, 8 months ago we had you on, and you talked with us about your Emergency Assistance and Community Needs Fund. When the pandemic hit, it was set up to raise money to distribute to local nonprofits. I'm kind of curious about how that's gone.
Well, it's gone very well, considering the times we're in, Joe. To date, we have raised $2.4 million and put out for immediate basic needs with 34 nonprofit partners who put it out in the community with us and for us and on our behalf. So, and we're continuing to raise money and continuing to help people.
What was that, more than you expected? Was it about what you expected?
It's probably about what I expected at this point, given where we are in this cycle. Now with the spike, we're going to see it probably go up more. We also distribute emergency assistance funds for, it's called the Emergency Food and Shelter Program for the federal government. So we've had three tranches of funding for that, which has amounted to about $4 million to date, I believe, in addition to the $2.4 that United Way of Southern Nevada has raised. So we are busy at work helping.
What's the money used for? And I wonder if the things that it's used for have changed during the pandemic.
We've defined it as, at this point, Joe, as immediate basic needs. That qualifies as food, rent, mortgage, emergency sheltering, and utilities. So will it change? Probably, as we get further into this. But as you know, this is a long slope.
Yeah, and that's a couple million dollars you're talking about. Is it all used up already, or how's that going?
It's all been allocated, and every nonprofit that is on direct services that put it out there for these needs reports back to us every month. And we are about, I believe, 1.8 to 1.9 used up. So there's still money available, and your listeners can find out who those partners are on our website at uwsend.org or dial 211, and they will refer them to the 34 nonprofits, some of which still have money to expend.
And we'll have links to your website on our website. This pandemic has gone on for 8 months. It's really hitting Nevada and the entire country hard right now. Stay-at-home orders have resulted really in an economic recession as well. I wonder if typically reliable donors are opting out or saying something different when you approach them these days.
Well, that's a wonderful question or statement you made. What I'm seeing is our donors are really focused on COVID recovery relief. So organizations such as United Way and others that are immediately in that space are in fact getting help. But we also must be cognizant, when the onset of COVID happened, the market dropped precipitously and it put our normal donors in peril. But what I am seeing is the average person is giving $10, $20, $30. And so we don't have the traditional funding sources always, mm-hmm. but it's also a time to be challenged and be nimble and adept and look at things differently.
Yeah, you talked about individuals giving. Has corporate giving suffered a little bit?
It's only suffered I wouldn't say suffered. That's not an appropriate word. The focus is shifting. And many of our corporate partners are saying, look, Kyle, we're helping in the COVID recovery, which is going to be the focus ongoing, which, as you know, it'll be a minimum of 2 to 3 years left. So, yes, they are focusing mostly on COVID recovery and people who need it or organizations that need it.
United Way also helps nonprofits adapt to different circumstances and the changes that are happening. What's that meant? How have they had to change, and how are you helping them?
Well, immediately after we set up the Emergency Assistance and Community Needs Fund on March 18th, on the 19th, United Way convened all the nonprofit partners that we could find in Southern Nevada. And we've been meeting, we met weekly for about 8 weeks, and now we meet every other week. And we've asset mapped where they're serving in the community geographically. It's on our website. But what it's meant is it's brought about natural collaborations and partnerships that would have might have taken a little bit longer to develop. We're all aware of where we're working, who's working and doing what. And it's been exceptionally helpful. And it's also been a community of strength. You know, we're all in this together. So Nevada is uniquely different than some places I've lived. Our nonprofits are often on the front lines providing the services that the city, the county, the state, or an entity usually provides. So we are working together with all of the nonprofits. So I think that's been a great thing.
It is the time of year when people want to give more, but this isn't a regular year. Everybody is really hurting, so giving is down a little bit. I am talking with Kyle Rahn, President and CEO of the United Way of Southern Nevada. And now joining us is Natasha Nelson. She's the Volunteer and Outreach Manager for Catholic Charities of Southern Nevada, and they work with United Way of Southern Nevada. Natasha, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, Natasha, Catholic Charities provides food and shelter for people in need. How have you been able to continue doing that during the pandemic?
That's a great question. We've been very, very lucky with a lot of our corporate partners helped us early on when we immediately couldn't have volunteers serve in person on campus. We used to have up to about 60 volunteers a day that were able to serve. And we had partners like Wynn Las Vegas, MGM Resorts, Las Vegas Sands, Venetian, United Healthcare. They all helped provide meals. And that allowed for our staff to really shift their capacity to things like our Meals on Wheels program so that we could keep going and help with the increased demand of some of those services.
You talk about the increased demand. How much greater is the need right now?
You know, it does vary, and it kind of depends on the program. I know that we've seen a lot of families that we may not have seen before come into needing utilizing our food pantry, our community meal. At first, when we had the first kind of spike in cases in the summer, we did have some decreases in our shelter just because we have to make sure that things are able to be distanced properly. But we are trying to work more towards that now. I think we're in a good flow. We're hoping to open our outdoor pavilion soon in the coming weeks that will allow for people to, instead of taking the meal to go, which is how it's been shifted so far, to actually able to eat in a space that will provide some shelter for them while they're eating, distancing, be able to have that hot meal still where they can sit down and rest for a little bit as well.
You talked about Catholic Charities had relied on volunteers to be on campus, on site. What kind of jobs do those volunteers typically do, and how are you filling them now?
So before, we had a lot of volunteers that would help serve our community meal. They would help prep the food in the kitchen. They would help actually serve to our clients. So now it's trying to find unique in ways that we can be flexible. And I think the community has really risen to the occasion. We have people that are able now to do things like sew face masks or knit hats and scarves for that same population. And that allows for our staff to really focus on getting those services out. We even have volunteers that are doing things for areas that they haven't had the opportunity in the past. We have a men's homeless night shelter on campus. And before, that was something that was a sensitive area where volunteers weren't really able to have that client interaction directly. But now we do have volunteers that are building hygiene kits, and we've received over 6,500 hygiene kits since March. And our staff has told us that not only has helped fill that necessity of cleanliness, but it's also been a huge morale boost. A lot of those clients do have jobs, and when they're able to have that shower and those hygiene products, it gives them a sense of pride when they're able to go to work in the morning.
Yeah, volunteers to organizations like Catholic Charities like to do the in-person stuff. You know, there's a good feeling when you're actually out there doing it. I wonder, with fewer people on site and actually being able to be on campus, if you're getting fewer volunteers.
That's a good question. I would say that we do see less engagement overall. But I think it's really important to note the engagement just looks very different, and it doesn't mean that it's less impactful. I know a lot of volunteers, like you mentioned, do like that in-person interaction. We've noticed that we're only getting about 25% of the volunteer numbers that we had, but we also have to realize that we used to have up to 60 volunteers daily that were in a set timeline. A lot of our opportunities are available from home, so it's really flexible. One thing that I think is really important to look at, too, and we're kind of looking at some of those new measurements, is that this year, since March, when we started to suspend in-person service, we have seen 500 brand new volunteers sign up who are truly interested in doing service, whether it's in person or remote or whatever is available. Hmm. That's only about 80% less than we saw last year of brand new volunteers.
Is the demographic of those volunteers, have they changed? Are they younger people, older people? I mean, have you noticed a different type of person doing this remote volunteering?
I would say that it's a lot of our same volunteers. A lot of the schools are still asking for some type of service. So we have those students that are coming in, a lot of retirees. But the one that has surprised me is there's quite a bit of volunteers who are facing unemployment due to the current economy. And what they want to do is they really want to be able to fill that time with something. They want to give back still. They want to use the extra time they have on their hands to give back to the community, even when they aren't always able to have what they need in terms of employment.
That's great to hear. You know, another great thing Catholic Charities does and has done for many, many years is provide free Thanksgiving and Christmas meals to those in need. Is that happening again this year?
It is. So we are going to have, we do serve a community meal every single day, free and open to the public. We will, of course, have those meals as well served on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we always try to have a slightly elevated and special menu for that occasion to make sure people feel like they're able to celebrate those holidays, even in their different circumstances. Our pantry is able to give those Thanksgiving food items out to those who qualify for that service. So we're continuing to have that. It is a different change. Of course, Thanksgiving is one of the biggest volunteer days of the year, and It will be a shift this year not having volunteers on campus that day. But I really do think people are very understanding that they can make an impact from home.
So they can make an impact from home. For the people going to Catholic Charities for a meal, are they all going to be sitting in a big dining room again, or how's that going to work?
So we are currently working hard to get that outdoor pavilion, which is it's up and it's getting those details put together. Our hopes is that instead of sending people with a to-go meal of Thanksgiving food, we can give them that dignity and be able to sit down for a meal. They'll be at tables that will be socially distanced and, of course, sanitized, and our staff will be serving that as well.
And I wonder when you talk to people, like you said, Thanksgiving is a time when people come out of the woodwork to go to Catholic Charities and just to hand out the food, to be in that food line. There's a really great feeling people get from that. When you talk to people and tell them they can't do it this year, are they anguished over it?
You know, I would say that they really aren't. I think a lot of people really understand that what we're trying to do is first look out, first and foremost, for the safety of our clients. And then knowing that our staff also has to be thought of, because if our staff isn't able to have that safe environment that they can work in, if they are compromised through getting ill, then it does impact our programs and it will be run efficiently. And of course, our volunteer safety as well. I think generally, you know, I was surprised. I was kind of worried to see people's response. I know that it's a longstanding tradition for a lot of our volunteers to come on Thanksgiving every year. But a lot of them have been very understanding, and I've been surprised to see how many of them have asked, what else can I do? What else do you have going on right now?
We're talking about charitable giving and volunteering and how that's going as the virus really, really takes hold in Southern Nevada. With us is Kyle Rahn, president of the United Way of Southern Nevada, and Natasha Nelson, the volunteer and outreach manager of Catholic Charities. And also joining us via Skype is Laura Plato. She's chief solutions officer of Volunteer Match. Laura Plato, welcome to the program.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being here. You know, Volunteer Match does what its name implies. It matches people with volunteer opportunities. It does this across the United States. So I'm kind of wondering, across the United States, how is charitable giving and volunteering for those different organizations going during the pandemic?
It's a great question, Joe. And I think Natasha pointed to some trends that we're seeing nationally as well. We've been doing some research since about March. And what we discovered in March was 93% of all volunteering had been canceled. Wow. Now, the good news is that has recovered. At least it's recovered a bit. So we're up to about 48% of our charities still saying they're seeing heavy volunteering cancellations at this point.
What about Nevada? Do you have numbers for the state?
Nevada is trending very similarly. What I would say is on our site alone, there are 9,000 volunteers needed right now in Nevada. Wow. So it's still a huge need.
Give me an idea of what those volunteers are needed for, different areas, different work. What kind of things?
Absolutely. So there are opportunities for mentoring both children, which is something you'd think of really commonly, but also even things like small businesses. So if you've got skills in that area, that's mm-hmm. a great one to bring forward. And Natasha referenced folks who are maybe between jobs right now or concerned they might be between jobs. Great place that you can continue to hone and practice your skills through mentoring. We've also got some good opportunities for food pantries and shelters, different things that are happening that are socially distanced, as we were just hearing about, food drop-off opportunities. And we've really got some interesting things on there, too, that might surprise you, Joe. Things like teaching yoga or hip-hop dance over Skype or Zoom. Hmm. Things you wouldn't ever expect to see in a pre-COVID environment we're seeing now.
You know, the need for 9,000 volunteers in Nevada, with that number, it's hard to imagine a bright spot in this picture, but you think there is one. What is it?
I think there is a bright spot, Joe. I think one thing we've seen through this pandemic is just how very fragile the tissue of our communities really is. But what we're seeing is incredible creativity and innovation on the part of our nonprofit partners and incredible passion and compassion on the part of our volunteers. So people are really coming up. They're finding ways to give back that are comfortable for them, that they feel they can lend a hand. And they're doing things really differently than we've ever done it before. So it's actually forcing all of us to get more creative with our resources. And as we heard from Kyle earlier, too, to bond together cross-sector and find ways that we can leverage the best of what all of us bring to the table to really create a positive impact through this difficult time.
What does that mean, bind together cross-sectors? Like what sectors are you finding volunteers want to be a part of?
We are seeing folks come from all areas of the economy. So if you think about what it's going to take to recover from this COVID-19 crisis, we've seen folks from government step up to create volunteer programs. We've seen our traditional folks from the nonprofit sector think about how to iterate and change their volunteering programs. And we've seen our corporate volunteers, as well as just individuals, step up in new ways and different ways to lend their time, their talent, and do things like donations of items, another great way to volunteer that we don't always think about.
Laura Plato, what are some of the remaining challenges, some of the different industries or businesses or organizations that have a need for volunteers?
Some of the big ones, Joe, one in particular I'd point to, hospice and palliative care remains in great need of volunteers. That's one you would think is pretty difficult to do safely distanced. Mm-hmm. But the hospice organizations have done an amazing job following regulations, finding creative ways to engage volunteers in that incredibly important work, including things like sewing opportunities, sewing memory squares or memory bears for families who've lost loved ones. So there are still ways to offer in-person support and care into that environment. That's a big one. And of course, we also are going to see a continued surge as we head into the winter for our shelters and food pantries, where, again, much in-person volunteering is still required. But as we've heard, really creative ideas, too, for doing safely distanced volunteering as well.
If somebody wanted to volunteer and wasn't afraid of the virus, wanted to do the person-to-person contact, what kind of things do they do as a volunteer?
There really are all kinds of tasks you can do. There are everything we've been talking about so far on this program, Joe, in terms of direct service opportunities where you're working with clients and helping them get their needs met. There's also a lot of back office and administrative work that goes on for our nonprofits. They're often understaffed in that area. So again, you can bring your skills in organizing, administering, all that good stuff right to the table. Those are wonderful things to do. There's also work in advocacy, communication, and outbounding. So think about the fact that all of our nonprofits, as we've heard, need a little more funding right now. We can all use a little bit of dollars to help us get through this time. That's another wonderful way to lend your talents, make phone calls, help write letters, create donation opportunities and drives. Really, the key is talk to your local nonprofits. Find one you're excited about and give them a call and see what they need if it's not apparent on their website, or visit a site like ours, Volunteer Match, where often the organizations are posting direct opportunities that they need some help with, and you can find things that are really interesting and appealing to you.
And Kyle Ron of United Way of Southern Nevada, you talked a little bit earlier about, you know, people need rent and food, mortgage assistance. These are really basic necessities. Is most of this need being met right now with people you work with and through the government? Or is it fair to say more people than usual are maybe slipping through the cracks?
Joe, I would say it's fair to say that, especially in light of the most recent events with, sheltering again for 2 weeks. It makes it very difficult for people to get help or to get a job. We are, by the way, United Way is a recipient of a $1.7 million grant, and we call it the UWSN Cares, and it helps parents pay for their child care. So any parent who's been affected by COVID, they can apply for it, and it's $100 per child per week. That's paid directly to their certified child care, and it can be in-home if they're registered. So there's a help and an assistance to get people back to work. But like Laura was saying, we at the onset of the pandemic, saw our nonprofits really needed a robust volunteer center. Mm-hmm. So United Way of Southern Nevada set one up, and we now have 94 agencies that are listed with us. We have 1,600 volunteers, which is many more than we probably ever had. But to the point, we have a lot of virtual opportunities, as Laura was speaking about, but we still have some that are in person where those people are going to mask up, and this is what they do. They want to be compassionate and give back. So we're meeting that need in Southern Nevada as well.
Yeah, what's that organization called?
Oh, it's the United Way, and it's if you want to volunteer, you go to volunteer.uwsn.org, and it's literally a matchmaking service. The nonprofit puts up exactly what they need and they're doing, mm-hmm. and any kind of special volunteers, and the volunteer goes and kind of cherry picks and figures out which nonprofit they want to help with,
becomes
a marriage.
We talked earlier, there was this great need at the start of the pandemic, and then it went down during the summer. And I think a lot of people think that's because of the federal aid packages that came through. People, had enough money to pay their rent, to buy their food, but that aid has dried up. We don't see anything coming, or do you? Do you think more federal aid is coming?
Joe, that's a very good question. In the time we're in, I don't see how we'll not be able to have more aid. I know we were just notified that our emergency food and shelter program money, the third tranche from the feds, is coming to United Way, which we're putting out. So that's the third one since March. We normally have one in March, but there's been two more. So, yes, I can't imagine that we won't have more assistance. People are in great need.
And Natasha Nelson, Catholic Charities helps a lot of people going through homelessness. I think it's fair to say homelessness is really severe right now. Where I live downtown, I've seen something I haven't seen in years, people sleeping on sidewalks under heaps of blankets in this cold weather. Las Vegas, the city of Las Vegas, doesn't yet have a robust program to house the homeless. So is your shelter seeing an increase in need?
That's a great question. So our shelter, at the start, it was a little bit more challenging because we had to make sure that everyone could be distanced safely, that there was guards put in place that were able to help people sleep there and be secure. So at this point, we're able to sleep up to about 400 men. Catholic Charities has a shelter for men that are age 18 and older, but there are other nonprofits around us as well that do help to house those experiencing homelessness. So I think we've seen an increase in that need. I know that there are, in the last homeless census, around 6,000 people that were notated to be experiencing homelessness. And even with the demand that we have, I'm sure that there are many individuals that are not always able to have, or that may be somewhat resistant to receiving services, whether there's addiction or mental health issues alongside with that.
During non-pandemic times, is this an area with the homeless, I guess with getting them set up for an evening or for meals, is this an area where you'd want volunteers on site, but you can't have them now?
So usually in our shelter, there isn't a capacity for volunteers. We want to really make sure that security and safety for all of our clients is the first priority. And we know that it's a sensitive area of people that are utilizing shelters. One of the things that we're trying to do currently that I think will be very helpful is that we've opened a housing navigation center on campus that really is working to try to divert people who may be using the shelter to see if there's different avenues they can get into that will help keep them out of that shelter system in the first place, if they have family around, if they have programs that could help get them out of homelessness and back into work. We have our Renewing Hope program that is there for adult men who are wanting to get back into the workforce and do some apprenticeship skill building. So that's still going strong. Volunteers in general have, even before the pandemic, had ways to assist that clientele by giving donations of socks and underwear that are clean, being able to help support them through monetary donations, of course, and then through the community meal. But the shelter itself is not usually an environment that we would have volunteers in.
And by the way, I was wondering, you talked about Meals on Wheels and a sort of different direction that's being taken by your own staff as volunteerism for in-person help has sort of dried up because people don't want to do it and you don't want people to get infected. Can people help with Meals on Wheels, though?
Absolutely. So Meals on Wheels, we have increased to serving about 2,400 seniors, and we are the only provider of both Las Vegas and North Las Vegas. So in the past, we've had volunteers who have helped prepare and assemble those meal trays that then our drivers take out to those who are 60 and older and homebound. At this point, we don't want to have volunteers in that kitchen environment, both for their safety and also just to compromise any of our staff that is cranking out those meals every single day. So one of the things that we're doing right now is we're having our volunteers, and we've had a huge response. We've gotten about 23,000 so far, make Meals on Wheels cards for the seniors. One of our clients the other day, she's been on Meals on Wheels about 3 months, and before joining the program, she would completely run out of money by about her third week of the month. So now she is able to have some extra dollars at the end of the month with the support of our program to buy some toilet paper or other hygiene products. Yeah. So normally our drivers in the past have entered the house, they've put those meals into the freezer. With COVID, we know that that's a little bit harder this year. So a lot of times they're dropping them at the door, they're calling to confirm that the client has picked them up. But now we have the ability to have a personal interaction through our volunteers to be able to support those needs. So they're getting the food and nutrition, but they're also helping alleviate some of the isolation that they're experiencing.
I think people out there, some people don't realize the extent of the need out there. When you talk about somebody now being able to afford toilet paper, I think that's a shock to a lot of people.
It really is. It's quite jarring to hear someone say that they're excited to have $10 left over at the end of the month to buy toilet paper, you know, and to say that thinking that that is a lot, and we know that it's not. You know, we know that that's still a very big necessity that they have. So definitely donations for the types of programs that people are able to make money are always helpful. If you're interested in getting involved with volunteering for the cards as well or donating online, you can go to CatholicCharities.com and learn more about that program and how you can help.
And Kyle Ron of United Way of Southern Nevada, you typically around this time of year, as we've been talking about, people want to volunteer. There's also, I think in your organization, you see a bump in giving charitable donations. Are you still expecting that this year?
Yes, Joe, there's no reason that we shouldn't be optimistic, even though this is a difficult, strange time. We are all, you know, moving forward and I know that everyone on this call is thinking optimistically as well, because for those of us who are working, we know there are as many that aren't. So we're anticipating volunteerism is, we're not as high as we were last month, but it's still, you know, we've got time, but we also have a lot of virtual events like Laura was speaking of, and much opportunity to help. And that's really what United Way does.
That's Kyle Ron. She is president and CEO of United Way of Southern Nevada. Also with us, Natasha Nelson, volunteer and outreach manager at Catholic Charities of Southern Nevada, and Laura Plato, chief solutions officer at Volunteer Match. She joined us via Skype. And I want to thank all of them.